Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody talking about soldier shoes. We can't wait to hear yours. Yeah, I feel that. I dig it. And I'ma tell you right here. The reason why it's called. From the one to the two, to the three, to the four. I don't really need to know. I bring it to your live like it's live. You dig?
Buckle up.
To the one that know my
in the word.
Tennessee.
Keep your eyes eyes.
To infinity.
Amen.
And I'm Victor Williams, the host of the Hymn the Lord Show on Blog Talk Radio. Streaming online all across the map, across the meter, the equator, at the point of very solstice, even in retrograde, we entertain. Those that want to talk about social networking and social sciences, y'all. So today I'm thinking, ain't that different? I'm having like my moments. I need the call in area code 319-527-6075 on the guest call in line, because America's recovering from the pandemic and pre-existing issues as well, and I would appreciate your input on how America can continue to do this. I really would like to get your input in on this. Is society's recovery from the pandemic an escape or a rescue? I'm not so sure which one, but it's one of them. So call in and let it be known what your opinion is. Is society's recovery an escape or a rescue? It's important. You know, everybody else wants to know. I'd like to know your experience.
Hello?
You know, Blog Talk Radio is just for you. I'd like to know what your experience since the pandemic, ma'am, has brought to you, so that you can feel like you're taking something away from it or giving something into society as a result from it, because America is, and you know, very much so, is in recovery from the pandemic and pre-existing issues as well. Like, here's the pandemic. Do you agree that we are recovering from the pandemic?
Yeah.
And so it's a reality. We're recovering from the pandemic. Then there's also, well, people can't get in, you know, the same classes in college together, and two people can't get the same job. Men and women are at odds. It's the color. It's my race. It's my creed. It's my nationality. It's my religion. It's like my cleanliness now since the pandemic. It's my own habits, my manners, my behavior. And America's trying to recover from all of this. I'm interested to know, and also audience, be aware that the guest call line is open at area code 319-527-6075, where you can call in right now and talk to me and the rest of the world on the Hymnologue show on Blog Talk Radio and tell us what your take is. The question is society's recovery from the pandemic an escape or a rescue? That's just my question. That's what I ask myself today for critical thinking purposes. Like, I understand a rescue and an escape to be two totally different things. In my opinion, a rescue is something that somebody else does. Somebody reaches out to me. I'm in the water. I fall off a yacht, and I'm drowning. And somebody throws me some kind of help, and I get out. So I don't drown. They rescue me. And escape is if I found my own way out of the water I fell into over the side of a yacht, you know, and so nobody else really helped me. So that's me escaping. I think an escape is just the one person related, and a rescue is related to more than one person. I wonder my own self, okay, if society's recovery process from the pandemic, because we've got other issues that we are facing and, you know, trying to recover from that are pre-existing issues as well. If it's an escape or an issue, like, is the pandemic an excuse? A lot of people use it as an excuse. Oh, the pandemic, so I've got to do this, or I can't do this. And so maybe we're trying, or I don't know, maybe we're getting a little bit deeper in the hole where we are as a society with those other social issues that we're still struggling with. I wish we weren't. But the reality is, and someone may want to debate this, but the reality is we are still struggling with other things. I'm interested to know from this guest what America has been showcasing the pandemic. You know, like, are we going to behave and be good so we can recover and be a better country, a better world, a better society? Or are we going to continue to, like, fight back and, you know, no, I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do that. You know, we're jumping over the edge of the water, of the yachts into the water and stuff. I'd like to know that from this guest. Could you introduce yourself, ma'am?
Sapia Hardy.
Awesome. Hello? Absolutely. Yeah, it's a great pleasure to have you on the Hymnologue show this evening on Blog Talk Radio. Yes? So can you share an experience you had? Is it like something that's just related to whatever is correlating with America and its people, that we should be like a nation together? Some of those things that are we're aware of, that are obvious things that are just compounding onto our list of things we need to recover from, sickness, disease, illness, anything.
Well, when my car broke down, I live in Tallahassee, but I was in Thomasville, Georgia, and a lot of the businesses, they wasn't servicing nobody. So I had to park my car in a church parking lot for like a week and just sleep in my car until somebody was able to fix it so I can go back home. Until I was able to find a mechanic up there who would fix it so I can go back home. Nobody didn't want to, like, do no business. Like, a lot of business was closed and stuff. And it was even hard to find a mechanic in Georgia when I stayed in Tallahassee.
That
Hello?
Is, yes, I'm listening. It's shocking to know, and I say this, because Tallahassee is a tourist town. Lots of people like to come to Tallahassee, and they like to come to, I guess, like, gather, like, historical value and take pictures and and stuff like that. It's shocking to know that someone would not assist you here in Tallahassee. In bigger cities, it's possible, but I wouldn't hope it would be that way in any city, any town.
I was in Thomasville, Georgia. I live in Tallahassee, but my car broke down in Thomasville, and a lot of the businesses, they weren't servicing nobody because of the pandemic. So I had to park my car in the church parking lot for a week until I was able to get it fixed.
Wow, that's seriously interesting.
They were the ones helping people. The churches and stuff, they're the ones who was helping people.
Well, I would hope it wouldn't be that kind of way in any city or any town, but, you know, surprising it would be if it was like that in Tallahassee. But Thomasville is Thomasville, and Tallahassee is Tallahassee. So it's going down like that in Thomasville. Wow, I wonder what do you think really it's related to?
I think it's reduced the spread of germs. They were trying to quarantine and stuff, and they didn't want nobody really coming out the house unless you had to work or you was picking up kids or something like that, or like going to the grocery store. They didn't really want people coming out the house. They were trying to quarantine, so a lot of the businesses weren't even open. A lot of people, like, thought it was bad, like probably the first 6 or 7 months when they was quarantining everybody. It was like martial law or something, like a hurricane hit or something.
That's true. So I think it's interesting that it started and it was that immediate response of, oh, everybody cover up and put like plastic on just about, and then not think that same kind of social value and ethnological sense of morality was not going to be a continuous kind of courtesy and complimentary manner towards one another. You know, like it turned from like, let's do everything we can to not get hit by the pandemic into, hey, you know, maybe you got it and I don't, and I don't want to be next to you. I don't want you around, man. You know, the isolation seemed like it got a little bit out of context in correlation with how we immediately reacted to it.
Another thing, too, is like we had a president that was like, he wasn't Donald Trump. He was not a politician. He was a businessman. So we got a businessman trying to act as a politician and people dying out there. So we didn't even have a good headship in the United States chair to combat what we were dealing with. He wasn't even prepared for what hit us. So that was another thing that made it so, overwhelming, because the president, he didn't know half what he was doing there. So a lot of people died as a result. At least we got a vaccine now.
I have to agree with that, because once again, I just see when the pandemic started, it was all about social distancing hadn't came in yet. It was more about like sanitizing everything and sterilizing everything and cleansing it and stuff. And then it turned more into keeping people separate. So I thought like it was kind of an awkward situation to come to such a quick unity, and then to see that unity somehow like overwhelm everyone into such like a bias, until it's hard to look back at the perspective and see that everyone in the world tried to respond as one, you know, when it first happened all together. You know, it got to the point where
it was a crisis.
Yeah, so I understand that it's a seriously interesting correlation that America's got pre-existing issues when this pandemic happens. We're still trying to get over how to live together anyway. So here comes the pandemic. It's another crisis. And it just seems like as we continue to try to recover, you know, it becomes more and more curiosity as to how long this recovery process is supposed to take, as well as how long it really is, you know, technically going to take. So even trying to look at it is so interestingly overwhelming that in the midst of all of these different unprecedented events, we're still human beings, still thriving to eat and to drink and to provide the sufficient things we need that are essential, an essential means for us to grow and to live. For not just humans, this is true for animals as well as this is true for plants. Things have a lifespan. And so it's so overwhelming to see that that is our foundation and the standing point for us. It's all knowledge that we know across the face of the planet. And just to know that these different events are compiling and we're not just, I think I'd be more comfortable if we had a crisis and then we got over the crisis and everything was okay. And then there's another crisis. And so we face another crisis and we recover and everything's okay. And we just keep facing a crisis, one crisis after the other. But I honestly, in my life, personal life experiences, I am compelled to lean a little more towards the curiosity as to what is the purpose of prolonging the socioeconomical aspects of a crisis, like making it so big, the media's got so big. When something happens a lot, everybody hears about it. Everybody's now got to wear the mask and not be within 6 feet of someone else. Even with the mandates being lifted, there are still some places that require the mask, and they claim it under the federal government. So obviously we're looking at some little middle area there where everyone is, and it's interesting to me that I think we're between a recovery and an escape. I'm not sure which one it is, if we're doing this alone as a nation or if we're doing this together as a nation. I'm not sure because there's a lot to do with facing the crisis, but I still don't feel like it's getting down into communities so that individual people and households can see what the purpose for these interventions are. You know, we're still going through the same old struggle thing, and I think we have common sense, and I think we know the solutions, but there is obviously some political advantage to manipulating someone else's psychological measure or someone else's philosophical means by which to provide a source of survival. I don't think anybody cares if we survive or not. I think that the controversy is about the means to survive and how we each have our own mind, and it doesn't, what works for one doesn't work for the other. I'm not sure.
Thomasville, I'm gonna just be honest. And it's small too. It's small. And there's a lot of panicking. And they still ain't out of the woods. But I'm just tell you what the Bible says, because I'm saved. God says that death and life is in the power of the tongue. So it's you're right on top of a lot of other stuff that we're dealing with in this country. Now we're dealing with a coronavirus where we got people, you know, dying every day, left, right. But before that, we had a lot of stuff, like a bird flu, and it was mad cow disease, and they had HIV. So it's been a string of stuff that just coming after us left, right. But see, we get all these people in the government seat, and they playing mind games, they insulting our intelligence. But when you do that, well, I think what's happening is they're hurting themselves because you end up spending your money in the wrong places. So when something like this, a catastrophe hit, you don't have the, you got the manpower as far as 911 and all that, but you don't have the money to combat it. So that's why we kind of went into a recession and people getting like stimulus checks after they lost everything, and that still don't help. You see what I'm saying? So they
see
what happened when you got a government, I'm sorry, when you got a government that's playing mind games and they manipulating the people, they money is obviously going in the wrong places because we got all these crises coming back to back to back, and they not prepared for it. So until we get somebody in the seat that's doing what he's supposed to be doing, I mean, being a man of his word, they ain't gonna know what they doing, and we ain't gonna, so maybe we keep going through this until we get it right. You understand? If you see something keep happening, you're gonna have to say, well, we need to be prepared for this stuff because I see it keep coming. But when you be playing mind games with some people's intelligence and manipulating people, you don't have the wisdom that comes from God. So I think we're spending our money in the wrong places. Like we got a deficit so big. And then we got all this catastrophe. Now we like broke. You know, we in a recession and people got to get stimulus. We're basically living off the government right now. But they were so against welfare. But now how many people we got waiting on stimulus checks? So they had to run back into it eventually until they get it right. You see what I'm saying? I think the politicians are going to have to wake up eventually and just really stop playing and be a man of their word when they get in that chair. Because that's what it boiled down to. You can't keep insulting people's intelligence and think you're going to run a good country. You know, it don't work that way. You can't keep lying and then think you're going to have a successful country. We get shamed out. It don't work that way. America really do get shamed out.
Especially when we talk of, like, when you talk about the money and how the money gets spent in the wrong places, look at as well.
Yep.
The natural disasters like Hurricane Katrina, which New Orleans is still trying to completely restore New Orleans from Hurricane Katrina, as well in Asia, the tsunami. There's still things like natural disasters we're still trying to recover from. Talking about the money and the government and where money is going.
Mm-hmm.
Look how much like the FEMA trailer parks and like all that stuff, as well as those diseases and those sicknesses and things. There is some kind of cognitive disorder somewhere here too. It's really making our situation compile while we're still recovering.
We basically living off of welfare. They so against it, but every time something hits, look like if that's what we got a result to. They're giving out food stamps. They're giving out checks. And now the coronavirus was so bad, so it's so many people just waiting on a stimulus check. By the time it gets here, they done lost everything. You can't live like that. You have to be prepared for it. So in my opinion now, I'm not a politician, but I'm just looking at it head on. If you see this stuff keep happening, then eventually you got to get in that seat and say, we got to do something about this. Because you got to clean up the mess what the last person made. You got to, whatever they made, whatever kind of mess they made, you got to clean up. So after Donald Trump left, we got a lot of work to do. But you got to spend that money in the right place so you can clean up. You got to retain the money.
And I don't think the right way to do that is to try to follow Donald Trump and figure out what kind of life he's going to live, you know, now that he's not a president, you know, and try to like find all this kind of stuff like that when we got other pre-existing issues before he was the president we've been going through, you know.
They got to stop playing with the people. They got to stop manipulating the puppet. You know, you're going to be a politician when you get in that seat. Just do what you say you're going to do. Like, stop. They really do that. That's the whole truth to me. My personal opinion about politics is it's a lot of mind games and a lot of, you know, keeping in and blind and showing your intelligence, a lot of corruption. But it started from the head and it worked its way down. They lying. It's a job. But you got to be good at it because you're dealing with a diverse group of people. And it just seems like we're going through so much. It's time to straighten up your act. That go for anybody. You ain't got to be the president. You're going through so much. You got to wake up one day. Okay, it's time to straighten up your act. You see what I'm saying? So that's where the president got to get to. That's where our presidency,
right.
Our presidency got to get to, because there's too much of it going on.
Yeah, and the pandemic is going to be like that lesson. This one's like where we learn to set the bar, hopefully, with who we want to try to, like, isolate from privileges and who we want to make, you know, extra privileged and things like that, so to speak, because the coronavirus is airborne. So, you know, Donald Trump was tested positive, and other people in the White House. So it's one of those moments, like, this is a message to this whole entire planet to, like, fix your situation, you know. Do not let yourself feel, like, rendered helpless to what your own reality is. As human beings, you have the solution. You create the problem, so you create the solution. It goes away. And then there's still, like, whatever else to do in that same day. Like, these people, like you say, are politicians, and this is government, and it's manipulation. It's not the way that it goes by the book. They are misusing their position. That's an independent variable, I think, that's worth mentioning and pointing out. It is not the society or the world that we have to live in that is rendering these casualties upon us. You know,
but not only that, they wasting these tax dollars. And if you look at how hard the pandemic hit, where you think the money coming from? Them tax dollars going right out the window. God will blow a hole in your wallet. You gonna pay for
that's
it
right.
one way or the other way. You know, misusing people, you gonna pay for it one way or the other. So we really paying for it right now. We really paying for whatever going on in that White House. The whole country paying for it, but look how much money they losing up there in Washington, D.C., just off them tax dollars and all these business closing down. So they, when you try to manipulate other people, when you try to hurt other people, you hurt yourself. When you mistreat other people, you hurt yourself. When you point the finger, 3 points right back at you. You can't get away from it. I forgot what it's called, but what goes around comes around. It comes right back and slapped in the face. So eventually they're going to have to screen up their act. That's all it boils down to. If we playing, I can't even explain it, but it's so bad, people don't even want to vote. You got to get out there and just tell people to go vote. That's how messed up it is. You got to pull teeth for people to get out there and vote. They don't even want to vote. It's so messed up. They don't want nothing to do with it. That's how messed up it is. So they got to straighten their act up. But in order for things to get better, they have to straighten up their act.
So I want to ask you this. Maybe it's just me. Or I don't know. Is it just me? Is there in the process of this manipulative behavior that we are seeing, totally overwhelming demonstration of by a lot of top leaders or people that are in leadership positions in our country?
It is. I'm going to tell you why. Go ahead.
Those of us that are common people, like the commoners that aren't in those positions, that aren't working in the government, federal government agency or anything like that, is it just me, or is there, like, that same old traditional, like, where we stand, like, with, you know, don't go outside. We tell them early on, like, it's storming. It's a storm. It's a hurricane. Don't go outside. And they say, well, no, I ain't going to do nothing to me. Go outside. And then lightning striking and trees and everything fall down, and, like, they barely make it back in. We have to help them back in and say, well, remember, we told you not to go outside because we're listening. We hear the thunder. We're not trying to worry about going outside and see how serious it's going to be. You know, is it just me, or is it, like that strong bond that unless you're really genuine about, you know, respecting others and being a respecting kind of person, it's still going on with those of us that still believe in the traditional way that societies run? Is it just me, or is there, while these manipulations are happening, there is that strong improving, strengthening bond between, you know, the other loyal citizens, you know, those that are still dealing with the manipulation? Is there a stronger bond between us in our communities, per se? I want to say directly into our communities, as a result of this same old demonstration of manipulation that we know by now is coming from government.
You have to have been manipulated to bond in that area. You have to have been taken advantage of. You have to have been, and I say discriminated against. I always look at the black community, but there's so many other communities that's going through it too, right here in the United States, on this soil right here. There's so many other
right.
communities, but mainly the black community. You have to have been manipulated in order to bond in that area. I mean, a group of people that been taken advantage of have to know what each other going through to form a stronger bond. Like, you ain't no stronger, your weakest link. So if I ain't never really had no problem with being, you know, judged by the color of my skin, I can't relate to somebody that have. See what I'm saying? I can listen, I can
right.
talk to them, and I can sympathize with them, but I can't relate as strongly as somebody else who has been, you know, discriminated against.
So when we look
you
at
understand?
Like that, I do. I understand. So when we're looking at the provisions set forth for handling and encountering the pandemic, and the institutions closed down, lots of stores, restaurants, like virtually like half the town closed, and
yep, Walmart,
and everything. That's right. And students from elementary to college went into the online remote learning environment and was doing it with video conferencing. You know, we're talking about doing without friends, the kids, and, you know, what's important for them to grow and develop healthily and have strong social sense and instincts. And so we're doing
the social
and
emotional. That's the social emotional cognitive level that they own. They have to, you know, they have to interact with each other. It's healthy.
So is that we are like still that real American family, like human power of force that doesn't have to like be manipulative to prove who we are at the end of the day or the beginning of the day, which is this human being, in spite of what manipulations are going on.
Say that again.
We're still that growing, you know, human race, you know, all in one, regardless of the manipulations, there are still like those that are examples of the way we wished that, you know, everybody was. We're still growing.
Yep.
And
yep.
growing stronger, persevering.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of positive people out there staying positive. It's a lot of them out there, and it's a lot of them that's losing it. And you seen all that stuff that was all the riots and stuff that was breaking out at the White House. So it's a lot of people that's losing it, even with the George Floyd stuff that went. It was so much stuff that went on just this past year, and between 2020 and 2001, it's a lot of people that's losing it. But you can't give up hope because you won't be no better than them. You're going to become a part of the problem. You're going to become a crisis. You're a crisis walking right here. You're a walking crisis.
Yes,
so
exactly.
It's a lot of people that's holding their composure, regardless of what's going on. It's a lot of people that, you know, just holding their composure. But you, most of those people, what I'm trying to say. I can't even put in the words. They know how to do it. You got to know how to kind of stay above it. You got to know how to do that. So you can't fault people when they don't know. You perish for lack of knowledge. If you don't know how to fight your battles, then you ain't gonna win.
Yeah, I like how that sounds. You perish for lack of knowledge. I got to incorporate
mm-hmm.
that in many things from now on. That's that's the second wise saying I've heard since the past 24 hours or so. The other thing was the strength of a wolf is in the pack. And so I'm working on that. I heard that at the Village Square. that I attended virtually yesterday, and that was Miss Barnes. These people were in Tallahassee during the Tallahassee bus boycott way back. I mean, you know, and are still here now and talking about empowering others and influencing positive action and things like that. And she said it. And when you say that, it reminds me that. She said, the strength of a wolf is in the pack. And so you say you can perish for the lack of knowledge. I got to incorporate those two things. It's short, and I get it, you know. But I don't, you know, I'm not going to say I get the whole thing. It's going to take me, you know, some search to continue to embrace it, because it's like a continuous revolution of information and, you know, and knowledge. Just that saying it, like, nutshells a lot of energy, because that's wise. It sounds wise.
That's actually in the Bible. That's the King James Bible. God said his people perish for lack of knowledge. Is that basically, they just don't know that, they don't even know they're messing up. They just don't even know they're doing it. That he said his people perish for lack of knowledge. It's in the King James Bible. I'm not a saint, but I am saved. It's in the Bible.
Yeah, I've heard it before, and I'm sure I read it, because I read that book front and back just like a storybook, not skipping around. I'm not talking about jumping a couple verse here and look at the verse here, like, just to like sharpen my intellect. But I read it for a book, for what it was worth, that it tells the story of God and humanity, like all history as humans exist. And but it comes back to me when I hear it. Anything, you know, that's said the right way, that's in it, refreshes me, like as if it starts all over again. So that's what happened when I hear it. That I'm going to incorporate that in, you know, every day in something, you know. Yeah, I like that.
Praise the Lord. That's the only thing that keeps people. You can't smoke it up, you can't drink it up. You got to turn to God. You got to depend on the power of God when so much going on, because you will buckle under the pressure. He keeps you when you don't even know it.
Right. So
you will buckle under the pressure.
So it's probably that we as a country, as a society, are going to escape these problems before we get someone that rescues us from them. What do you think?
Well, you can't escape, or you can't run from it now, because it's here whether you like it or not.
Right.
You can't run from it. We're going to have to stay positive until we get somebody that's equipped to deal with all the stuff that's going on. But they get in there, and they're not a man of their word, and then stuff happening, and they ain't equipped to deal with it, and we're back in a recession. We're back in a $1 trillion deficit. You know, we shame that. We shame that.
And what can we expect to encounter with, we already have what, like the confidence gap, like men and women and not being paid the same thing and given better jobs and promoted at higher rates and having a better, higher chance of being drafted and recruited into like the C-suite positions on jobs between just men and women, you know, without color or without any of the other pre-existing issues or this pandemic per se, to have to like come into play in that. When we talk about the way we've gone back into a recession with the, you know, the way that the country is being governed over. So what can we expect now from Vice President Harris, who's a female? And it's the first one. Do you think that's a good? Do you have any optimism for her?
Well, hopefully she gives some kind of insight into the problems that we have, as far as the national deficit and the recession and the shape that our economy in. Because if you look at it, as far as discrimination is concerned, you can be black, white, Chinese, Puerto Rican, or Asian. My tax dollar spend just like yours. So when you say that I can't get a position because of, for any reason, you hurt yourself, because my tax dollar, what do my tax dollar do?
It's just what my same thing as everybody else's.
It worked just like a man. Me and you, our tax dollars ain't no different than the color of our skin or the origin of our gender. So they're going to have to stop that, too. They're going to stop discriminating because they hurt themselves when they do that. We all got the same. We all spending the same tax dollars, whether you white, black, or male or female. We all spending the same tax dollars. So you don't hurt me by discriminating. You hurt yourself. Because that's money that you ain't getting out of my pocket. See what I'm saying? That's money. That's the paycheck. That's money you won't get out of my paycheck. If you deny me something, you deny yourself. Because my tax dollars spend just like his do. So they're gonna have to cut that out too. They hurt themselves when they discriminate. They killing their own pocket when they do that. And we got all the kids, if you think about it. The women got all the kids, so they really they need to be giving us more money, because them kids and sisters, that's all the money going anyway.
Right.
That's what stretch the buck with them kids. Them kids and sisters, that's where all the money go anyway. They really do need to give more consideration to women than what they do. Because we the ones out there shopping with them kids. A woman will tear them all down. That's my tax dollar. It's been just like yours. So when they try to close those up for me, they close it up for themselves. They can't spend what they don't got. They hurt themselves. You understand?
I do.
They can't spend
I
what
do.
They don't have. You just don't get my tax dollar. You don't want to give me no paycheck. You want to give me what I'm worth. You just don't get my tax dollar. So you hurting yourself. You hurt not only hurting yourself, but you hurting the whole country, because that's basically what we surviving off of. That's how the economy works. That's how the economy works.
And then welfare.
That's how they try to keep the balance.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
I said, yeah. So what about the welfare system? How long do you suppose, you know, what's your opinion on how long should it last? How long should it go before they say, okay, all of the checks now, we're going to cut them all off. We gave everybody checks and check and check and check and check and check. And, you know, we just need you to come on back to work, you know, what do you think that should happen? Do you think that should happen at all, or should we just be able to keep it like, hey, you know, who knows? I don't have telepathy. I don't know what your problem is.
I'm not going to say that I'm against it, and I'm not going to say that I'm for it. I don't want to judge nobody. I don't want to discriminate the, minorities, the underprivileged. I don't want to take food out of nobody's mouth. Because even if you don't got welfare, you still got these food banks and stuff.
Right.
They're giving out food. And I'm just keep on saying it. My welfare check, my tax dollars coming out of that too. They spit in a welfare check just like they spit in a regular paycheck. And if you need to get a welfare check for X amount of time, then, hey, if you want to get a welfare check or you want to go come borrow some about $400 from me, girl, go get a check. See what I'm saying? If you need money, you need money. You're going to have to borrow it from somebody. Or if you got to get on welfare, then get on welfare. I'm not for it. I'm not against it. But I just, whoever need it, if that's what it's there for, then go get it. You can't have pride. Some people don't want to be on it because of pride. But that's just a situation that people find themselves in sometimes. So I don't think that they need to do away with it. It's more like, I say it's more like charity, because it ain't even a lot of money. It's not even enough money, really. If you look at the situation that the welfare recipients are in, it's not enough money. So it's kind of like charity. Get that stuff away. Take the labor off of it and just go apply for a grant or something. call it something else and just go apply for it. It'll make you feel better. You see what I'm saying? Take the label off of it, because that ain't even enough money.
Right. One thing that compels me to support it is there's some things you can buy with them and some things you can't, you know? So I like that there is like some kind of threshold that keeps like some common sense and some reasoning going, like to continue to evaluate that kind of situation to know that you can't, you know, you can't get like hot foods everywhere, you know, but literally everywhere, you know, you can get cold food. You know, it's like certain things. It's like the WIC program. Like they give us these coupons, and then they already have been allotted into, you know, a proportion to what things that are to be stipulated under provision in that kind of program. And that I like, you know, like, hey, just because I think it's a way of promoting or advocating for a healthier eating, which is going to feed our body a more appropriate kind of manner and influence a better, a more positive way of thinking, and then improve our motivation and other tactical ways that we get, you know, from point A to point B or from one day to the next on complete faith, by the way. So, you know, I think like to have like that kind of that threshold on it to say, okay, we're going to, you know, give you this charity. But, you know, there is some conditions here. You know, if you're willing to just stick to the cold foods, then this will work for you, you know.
I want to get this out there before I lose my train of thought. As far as the welfare program, them caseworkers now, they don't make a lot of money, but they got a high turnover rate, and they need to step their game up. If you want welfare and you got a caseworker, then they need to be more detailed, get more involved with that family, see where the problem at, help that person to build themselves. You know, so once they get off of welfare, they don't have to come back. Like, you know, they can go from a welfare check to maybe $37,000 a year, you know, enough to support their family, enough to meet the needs of their family with a good caseworker. So it's the way the program is set up is what the problem is.
We got to break that
them
chain.
So them social workers got to do better by the welfare recipient. They lazy. A college, what's the understanding? I done been in college, so, you know, we got a counselor. And you go see that counselor, you talk about them grades, they're going to put you in some classes, and they're going to help you until you get done with school. Then they're going to help you get a job when you finna get out of school. I forgot the name of it, the name of that person, but that's kind of the way that the system needs to work. The welfare system,
right.
You already got a caseworker, so that caseworker needs to be more detailed, find out what's going on with that family, and get them to a place where they can support themselves and them kids. And they don't have to come back to that program. Get them stable. Help them get stable out there. Because that's why they're on welfare, because they're not stable out there in the world. So they got to get welfare. So it boils down to the, you know, the caseworker, which is the government. It boils down to some of them lazy. They need to step up their game. They need to step their game up with the welfare recipients. Be more detailed so that they can get on their feet. Uh-huh. They can provide for their family.
Yeah, because it's a lot of just, I'm going to hit the button and renew yours next month. You know, yours, okay, we're going to renew it again next month. And you don't have any idea of how much progress the person is making. And so the person's like, you know, I might need to stay on this so I can help you, you know.
I'm against the way that the program works. I'm against the way they run the program. You need help. Need help, but it's the way that they do it. Not what they do, but the way they do it.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. It's been a great pleasure talking to you, ma'am, and I cannot express it enough. like how much wisdom I feel like I've been endowed with listening to your words. I'm going to incorporate the words, you perish for lack of knowledge. And I'm going to continue to keep that. I'm going to put that in something. I need that. I'm going to make me some kind of poster or something I can just hang on a wall, put in a plaque, because that goes a long way. That encompasses a lot of other wise words. Because I feel like I can learn a lot. I can learn and learn and learn and learn, but I can still perish no matter what I know if I don't continue. And so I like that. I'm going to have to let, you know, it's like changing over gas, like from BP to Shell, or from going across town to BP, and they make a BP on my side of town. I go to that BP now, and I won't go all the way across town, you know, kind of thing. Like, it's a different, it's a refreshing kind of energy to have in a renewal type of aspect. So I thank you once again for being a guest on the Hymnologue show and hopping right off into the Hymnologue with me on Blog Talk Radio. And I will be out of this episode in a minute. Good talking to you, Ms. Harvey, and have a great, great recovery right alongside me and the rest of Blog Talk Radio in this country. We're not going to separate. You understand that?
Yes.
Great.
Thank you.
Good deal. And thanks a lot. You're welcome. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Such a wise saying, isn't it? Or was it not? Such a wise way to just sum up an answer on which I honestly had based upon intuition and mere intellect, because America is recovering. I'm not going to say it's not recovering. America's recovering. And I know this because there's a crisis right now. The pandemic is airborne. It is airborne. So we're recovering. I mean, maybe maybe somebody else will understand it in some other kind of language in a way that it's just not as clear in English. I don't know. But for sure, sure that there are pre-existing issues America exclusively is recovering from. And I think it's unfortunate if it's going to continue on in a political aspect that therein there's the energy of humanity. And for some reason, I don't doubt we find to be a reason to reckon with currently. It's the political aspect of holistic perspectives that each individual has unalienable right to express. No one else has along the same lines of ethnological value, if you will, the right to question. I understand debate. Debate's debate. There is a smart way once again, and I'll say now, which is a great time to say it, you perish for the lack of knowledge. I'm really thankful for psychologist Dr. Rogers for the great implementation of the Rogerian argument. Now, let me be honest, because this is in the hymn log. I'm pretty proficient presenting a Rogerian argument. So, I'm not as well challenging anyone, which is in tradition of the Rogerian argument practice, by the way. And if it must be just my opinion, great, I'm going to bed with it. Oh, what time is it? I don't understand. What's going on? Where are these people coming from? Who are they? I need a moment to, like, get myself back together. I don't know. I'm an Aquarius, so I'm half land, half water. It's compelling. I'm trying to tell the truth. You know, I'm trying to tell the truth. And it's not that I'm not being honest. But, you know, being honest and telling the truth is a little bit different. You know, just like true and false, it has totally nothing to do with truth. Truth is more a philosophical aspect. And true is, you know, sociological. And false is, too. Just as sure as one of them can be mythological and the other one can be psychological. All in the debate in which we would, if you ask me, come to appreciate the Rogerian argument set forth by Dr. Carl Rogers, a psychologist. Yes. Interesting. I think this evening, people, what we need to do is extend an intrinsic open arms from here in the capital city of the FLA to the WDA to our neighbor Thomasville, because Thomasville is our partner. Whatever happened to you in Thomasville, those of you out there that have been to Thomasville and have something weird since the pandemic happened, I'm with you. You know, Thomasville's relatively small, a lot of love. And as we continue to recover through this process, I am in no doubt about everything returning significantly back to normal. So big shots to Thomasville, Tallahassee, Wakulla, Leon, you know what the deal is. I'm going to get something to eat, Blog Talk Radio. Yeah.